Look at your neighbor and tell them, let's grow. Let's grow. God expects growth out of his people. Appreciate that. I want to take just a minute to run through Summer Cell with you. The last regular Wednesday night, if there is such a thing, will be the first Wednesday of June. I think it's June 6th. Everybody say June 6th. June 6th will be the last regular Wednesday night, and actually it's going to be the fun night that we do where the fire company comes in, Western Alliance, Sheriff Walters will be here. They'll be passing out free bike helmets. We do ice cream that night. It's a lot of fun, so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. And then on the 13th, June 13th, Summer Cell begins. Now, the reason why this is important is because in a spirit-led, spirit-filled church, we see in the Bible, in the book of Acts, after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability, which Pentecost is coming up on the 20th, a week from this Sunday, and I'm pumped about that because it marks not only the birth of the church, but the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We see that the church was alive, it was vibrant, it was growing. And by the end of chapter 2, we see that they're doing life together. Somebody say doing life together. And they shared everything in common. And that's what we want to do. We say we want to do life with you, and we mean that. When I tell you your family, what I'm saying to you is I'd do anything for you. I'll be there for you. And when you say you want to do life with me, I believe the same from you. And it's not something weird. It's not bondage. We don't believe in needing to release people because people who need to be released are in bondage. We believe in being a part of a family. And for some of us, this family is the most functional thing we've ever seen. For some of us, the people around us that we worship with are more family to us than our own family that share our same DNA. Y'all know what I'm talking about tonight. Okay, so can you give God praise that we're a big family? So I love coming together every week and seeing what God does in his living room. And so what I want to encourage you with is we use Summer Cell to connect with each other, to build relationships, to make memories, and to build those connections that make us stronger. The Bible says as iron sharpens iron, so one man's countenance sharpens another. And so we spend 8-9 months a year on Wednesday nights doing like this with a Bible study and sharing God's word with you. But I am convinced with all my heart that most American believers are educated beyond their own obedience. America does not need another Bible study. They need to live what they learn. And so we have implemented Summer Cell in the summers so that we can build relationships, not around a Bible study, but the best way to get to know somebody is go do something with them. Go do an activity with them. And so they're all activity centered. And you've got a sheet there. If you're here tonight and you didn't get one of these, can you raise your hand up? We'll make sure you get one. If I could have an usher grab this stack and make sure these keep getting passed out. Thank you so much. And I'll start moving through these with you because I want to put you in the know on what's going on. We'll start on the side that has the motorcycle group on the top left, and it's called Victory Riders. Mike Powers, who is our mayor, and who is also the owner of Wiggle and the Bridge, oversees that. He and Jim Spencer work together on that one. And you see the four Wednesdays. These are all June 13th, June 27th, July 11th, and July 18th. You guys will be kickstands up leaving here on a separate destination all 4 weeks at 6 p.m. Daniel, if we could just keep some of them in the back so as people come in, they could get them, that'd be great. The next one is Hooked. Everybody say Hooked. And that's a really fun summer cell that does fishing. We're going to run it tournament style this year. Last year we went pond hopping, but this year it's all going to be at Mount Pisgah every single week. And you'll accumulate points not only for your attendance, but for the top three or four bass, largemouth bass that you catch. And there will be a trophy presentation at the end. It'll be a lot of fun. And you can do that. Kevin Morgan oversees that. The next one is outdoor recreation. And we'll be doing that one at Mount Pisgah also. We've secured the pavilion next to the playground. And there's lots of fun stuff to do up there. Swimming, a grill, gorgeous playground, hiking, all kind of fun stuff. Miss Pamela McKinney. Pamela, can you stand up and wave at everybody? Right there on the back row, just see her if you'd like more information. And all these signups individually are out there in the lobby. We'd love for you to sign up and just, you know, commit to, I'm going to come to this one. 3D archery, I know a lot of you ladies and gentlemen are into that. Last year, our Robin Hood archer of archers was Danielle Oldroyd. So I just want to brag on her for a minute because she pegged an arrow right in the center of that thing. And y'all give Danielle a big hand tonight. She's right over there. For those of you who don't know, Don Henry, his wife Pat, is just a ray of sunshine. She oversees Victory Minis, but he is a highly accomplished and super successful archer. And so he does HTM archery sights, is his company, travels all across the country. But this year, instead of doing that here, it's going to be at his house, because the course setup up there is much, much better, and it will be worth the drive. You'll love it. The next one on the top right is young adults, and Miss Sophia Hart is going to be our coordinator for that one. And I was talking with her today. She's interning with us, and she has some awesome things lined up. I know one night y'all are going to go paintballing. One night you're going to do the escape room. One night you're doing a picnic and a bonfire. And I can't remember what the fourth night is. You don't want to miss out on that. And when we say young adults, we mean 18 to 35. If you're in that range, even if you're married, you're welcome to be a part of it. Also, Victory Moms, mothers of young children. Cynthia Mitzdeifer heads that up. Cynthia, are you here tonight? I don't see her. It happens right here outside of the sanctuary in the fellowship hall. She does a phenomenal job. Not Forgotten is one of my absolute favorites, and we go to the Bradford County Manor. That's Wade and Dorothy Graham. Wade and Dorothy, can y'all stand up and wave at everybody? Y'all give them a big hand tonight. They're awesome, and you're more blessed if you go do that than the people you go minister to. It just blows my mind every year to hear what happens there, so thank y'all for doing that. A new one we've got this year is called Saddle Up, and it's going to be trail riding. You have to have your own horse. This is not pony rides. This is not horse riding lessons. Just like you don't show up to Victory Riders without a motorcycle, don't show up to this one without a horse. All right, and a saddle, and the tack you need. But my niece does a phenomenal job with all things equestrian, and that is a gorgeous ride up there. And I'm telling you, it is just so therapeutic for your soul to go out in the woods and go horseback riding. And so we encourage you, if you have horses, connect with other people who love horses. Our worship team, this year we're opening that one up. This is not 2 hours for you if you want to come sing. This is if you would are interested in using your gifts for God's glory to play an instrument with our worship band, one of the instruments you already see up here. We haven't grown to the place yet where we can use you if you have an oboe. Praise God for your oboe. We're just not there yet, so be patient with us. And also, it's not funny. Kazoo, you know, we're just not there yet. You got a kazoo player. We are accepting spoons. Yeah, washboard will take that. Yeah, or vocalist. So please feel free to see Minister Wild. Buddy, I know you're always up there, but stand up and let everybody see your beautiful bald head. The next one is Life in Second. If you work second shift, life can be interesting, and you have, you know, you're kind of your own thing going, and we want people who work second shift here to be able to connect with other people who work second shift. You guys understand what life is like. If that's a commitment you have to keep every week, and so we encourage you to be a part of that group. Also, softball. Man, we have a ton of fun, and we're good. So I encourage you, if you like softball, this one you can do in addition to what you do on Wednesday nights. This is the only one on Saturdays. This one runs on Saturdays, and it's awesome. And then one other new one we've added this year is a biking and kayaking group called Paddles and Pedals. If you like doing that kind of thing, Bob Lance is an absolute beast master. He does mega marathons. The guy runs like 50-mile super marathons. It's just crazy. But you're in good hands. It's a great time. You can sign up out there in the lobby if you like the mountain bike or kayak. Amen? So we want to grow together. We want to do things that we love together. And can you give God praise for a church that's growing and active? One more thing, let me just take a second and hit some summer events with you that you see there. Obviously, this Sunday's Mother's Day. You don't want to miss it. Every mom's going to get a really special gift. Marsha picked something really nice for you that we've invested into you guys. Then in June, kicking off a brand new series called The Struggle is Real, and also graduation recognition is June 3rd. The 6th is that fun night. The first summer sale is the 13th. We've got that date wrong. 6/17 is Father's Day. It should say 2018 car show, but it says 2017. So that's the 17th. One service that morning, 10 a.m. The 20th, there's no summer sale. The 27th is our second summer sale. July 5th, there's no summer sale that Wednesday night. We always take that one off to give all of our groups a break for the holiday. The 8th, is our water baptism service. How many of you have been baptized in water? Awesome. If you have not been baptized in water, we encourage you to stop by the info desk tonight and sign up. And it's gonna be the first one we've ever done here, and we're gonna have a big swimming pool down front. It's gonna be amazing. Then Wednesday, July 11th is our third summer sale. The 18th is our fourth summer sale. And then the 25th is effectively our fifth summer sale. Everybody that wants to go, we pay for your tickets to go to the Troy Fair. All you got to do is wear a victory t-shirt, you get in for free. You can pick up your tickets here, and it's an awesome night to go just hang out at the fair and have a lot of fun, okay? That work for y'all? All right, so stop by the lobby and sign up for water baptism or summer sale on those tables, and you've got some time to think about what's going on there and be a part of it. Sunday, man, God was big Sunday. We saw so many people saved and just the impact of the message. And I want to share with you a testimony I got. It says, "Hi, Pastor Josh, I just wanted to thank you for your obedience to the Holy Spirit. He anoints us to appoint us, and he appointed you to preach that sermon. Today's message was for me. I'm sure you have heard this many times. Last night, I had my alcoholic, drug-addicted boyfriend who lives across the street pounding on my door at midnight. I've tried to, in my own strength, win him to Jesus, often compromising God's word. I've listened to your CD, Love Without Compromise, many times. I was raised Christian, but recently just realized what it truly means to follow Christ and to live supernaturally by his Spirit. I constantly struggle with showing him, my boyfriend, the unconditional love of Christ, and also putting Jesus first and knowing his will. I think there's a lot of people in that boat. I love this man so much, but he is abusive, and I know God does not want this for me. So today I made the break and said, I give it to Jesus, not my will, but his, letting Jesus deal with the issue and not making it my burden anymore. Thank you again. I almost ran to the front of the church today when you were preaching. That's how church is supposed to be. Amen. I want to be a part of the Victory Church family. Amen. God bless you and your family. And then says her name. Can you give God praise for that testimony? Amen. So tonight I want to begin a new series for the month of May on Wednesday nights that I believe is going to help you tremendously. And it is very simply this, living large. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm living large. We're talking about the power of generosity. Generosity is something that has the power to impact you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. I'm going to go as far as to say almost more than anything else in your entire life. And so it's very important that we learn how, thank you, to live a generous life because of the impact that it has in so many other areas of our life and because we serve a generous God. How many of you believe God's a generous God? But, you know, that's not common thought. A lot of people believe that God is a very stingy, penny-pinching miser, and there's not anything that could be farther from the truth. And so I want to begin by defining the word generous, and we're going to take a look at it tonight. The word generous, it means freely giving or sharing what is valuable to you with others.
It means providing more than the amount that is needed or that is normal. It's to go above and beyond. It means showing kindness and concern for others. It means liberal in giving and open-handed. And it means to be highborn or of noble birth. Well, y'all know tonight that you are highborn if you're born again. And you are born of noble birth if you're born again. You're a child of the King. And so tonight, let's begin by talking about the author of generosity. Because when you understand the generosity of God and the nature of God in generosity, and I don't want you to limit this to money. Matter of fact, I want you to get that out of your head right now, because this is so much bigger than that and goes so far beyond that, that if we limit it to money, we will miss out on the majority of the increase we can experience when we walk with God as a generous person. And again, I want to just say that the God of the Bible is not a stingy, penny-pinching miser. He's not a tightwad. He's not selfish. Our God is a giver. Our God is a giver. Our God is a giver. Our God is a big giver. Our God gives and he gives and he gives. Think about it. He gave us his word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. He gave us the Holy Spirit, his own spirit. He gave us eternal life. He gave us his name. He gave us abundant life on earth. He gives us joy that gives us strength. He gives us peace that passes all understanding. He gives us love that never fails. He's given us authority. Amen. He's given us the name above every name, the name of Jesus that gives us authority. He's given us, the Bible says, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Somebody say, I own the kingdom. Yeah, the Bible says he gives you or has given you the kingdom of God. He's given you keys to the kingdom, the Bible says in Matthew 16 and also in 18. He's given you exceedingly great and precious promises, and he's given you an incorruptible inheritance. In other words, an inheritance that does not fade away. He's wrapped you in a robe of righteousness that belongs to him. So he's a giver. He's a sharer. And it's important that we understand that. Psalm chapter 35, verse 27 says, the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Look at your neighbor tonight and tell him, God wants you to do good. Now say, God wants me to do good. You know that's true tonight? God wants you to do good. He takes pleasure when he says, how many of you have children? You want to see your children prosper? You want to see your children do better than you've done? That's powerful. There are some sick, twisted, demented mentality in some parents that get jealous when they see their kids doing good or doing better than them. But the reality is we want our kids to do better than us. God wants you to do better. Miss Linda, you know what Jesus said? He said, the works that I do, you're going to do them too, but you're going to do even better things. He said, you're going to do even greater things. God wants greater things for you. God wants better things for you, Ephesians 1:3. He has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. How many spiritual blessings? How many spiritual blessings? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's why you've got to learn to live by faith, because faith is the way I access what's in the spirit and pull it into the natural. Okay? But every spiritual blessing I'll ever need, Gage, I already have. I want you to say this tonight. Say, I have everything I need to succeed in Jesus Christ. Well, how many of you are born again? Then you're in Christ and he's in you, which means you already have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Which means, Dean, whenever I start feeling deficient and I start feeling like there's something lacking in my life, I just look back to Jesus, because it's already there. He's already deposited it on the inside of me. And all I have to do is look back to him to acknowledge that thing and begin seeing it in my life. Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. No good thing, no good thing, no good thing, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Do you see that? That's what your Bible says. It doesn't say God's holding it back from you. It doesn't say God's trying to keep it away from you. It doesn't say God doesn't want to give you enough to make it in this life. It doesn't say God's using a squirt gun on you. It says God wants to crack the fire hose open on your life. Okay? That's the kind of blessing he wants to provide. And the reality is, if he already gave you his very best when he gave us Jesus, how much more will he give you everything else you need in your life? So I'm going to show you a couple points tonight that reveal the generosity of God, the author of generosity. The first one's simply this. Number one, God's extravagance at creation. I want you to think about this. how extravagant God was when he created the universe we live in. I want you to think about the wonders of the world we live in, especially this time of year right now, days like today when the sun's shining. It's almost like you can watch the grass growing, Sue. I mean, it's just growing that fast. I was talking to Randy earlier about his hay. I said, man, it's going to be popping now. He said, yeah, we're not going to be able to keep up. I mean, I love this time of year. And we see how gorgeous creation is and what God's done. God didn't just make a place for humans to live. He chose to provide more than what was needed or expected. He went above and beyond. I mean, just think about the beauty we experience with our eyes. Think about the colors of the flowers popping and that you see in the trees and the animals we watch. Think about the sounds. I don't know about you, but I love the sound of just a babbling brook. I love the sound of gravel under tires. You know what I'm talking about? I love that. I can't get enough of that. I love the sounds of the birds chirping. Right? I love the sound of the trees blowing in the wind. I sit on my porch when the weather's good, and I listen to them trees rustling, the leaves. And if I close my eyes, it feels like I'm at the beach. Now y'all know how I deal with living up here. Like, Jesus, just take me there. Think about the flavor of food. You know how many taste buds are on your tongue? 10,000. Do you know they reproduce once every 2 weeks? Isn't that crazy? So you didn't know you're coming to church tonight to learn about your tongue. That's crazy. But God gave us that. He didn't have to give us that. I don't have to taste my food to get their nutrition out of it. But man, is it fun. I love tasting food. I mean, it drives me nuts. I love it. Once I have a meal, I'm thinking about the next meal. I'm so excited at night when I go to bed, I can't hardly go to sleep because I can't wait to get up the next morning and start all over again and start eating. And my breakfast is almost always the same. 2 eggs, medium, 2 pieces of toast, Mike, and bacon. And I'm super excited about it every time. Sausage. I need some sausage. You better tell Marcia. Sausage and gravy. Come on, you better preach. How about fresh peaches? Right? I mean, when it's peach season up here, Georgia's got nothing on y'all. I kid you not. I slap your mama and stone your grandmother. Strawberry season. Look at a strawberry. You ever looked at it? It just blows your mind. Right? I mean, it's incredible. Ripe tomato, I mean farm-raised tomato, garden tomato. I don't mean one of those things you buy at the grocery store and it's red on the outside, but you cut into it and it's whiter than sheetrock and tastes about the same. It has no flavor whatsoever. It's false advertising. It's red round, but it's not a tomato, because when you eat a real one, you can make a tomato sandwich. With some mayonnaise, you should put some salt and pepper on that sucker. With them beef steaks. Oh, come on. Huh? We just talk about food the rest of the night. That's a spiritual experience right here. But think about the creation God gave us. The diversity of animals, fish. You guys who go trout, and ladies who trout fish right now, trout are gorgeous. I mean, you think about the fish. If you don't believe in God, go swimming with a dolphin one time. I promise you, you will. One of the most incredible experiences I've ever had with the kids, go swimming with dolphins, be able to touch them. I think about horses. You know, my girls are horse crazy right now. Anna's been believing God for a quarter horse for over a year now because she wants to do showmanship a little bit more. And so she got a 7-year-old mare who's 16 hands tall, and she's beautiful. But have you ever smelled a horse? They have a scent to them. I love the way horses smell. And look at the way they move. And last weekend was the Kentucky Derby. And you look at the muscle. You can watch the striations in the muscle. And you can see every single muscle ripple as that thing's running down the track. God made that. And you know what? He made them for us. He didn't make us for them. That's why I have a hard time with animal perverts. I believe in animal rights. But people and pets are not the same. Okay? But we'll leave that one alone. But God made all of that for us. I think about looking into the heavens. I've never lived anywhere where looking up at the stars was as gorgeous as it was when I moved here. I mean, to be able to see the Milky Way, to be able to see the stars, it just blows your mind how incredible it is. And when you think about the size of our sun, which is one of the smaller suns, 1 million Earths can fit inside of our sun. 1 million Earths can fit in our sun. 100 billion galaxies. I mean, it's mind-numbing. And all of that, all of this, our world came from somewhere, and it came from someone. It came from our Creator. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says this. It says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities." In other words, you can see how amazing God is just by looking around you. His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For by Him..." or by Jesus, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." Somebody say, "I was created for Him." So that tells us that everything you have, everything you see, everything you are, has all been given to us by our loving Heavenly Father, by the Creator of the entire universe. He made all of this, and He prepared this place for His children, for you and for me. Now, I don't know about you, but that ought to make you feel pretty special. Can we give God praise for His gift to us? The second thing you've got to know tonight is just take a look at God's gift of His only Son. When you think about the generosity of God, you cannot overlook God giving His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, if you have children here tonight, then you understand that. It's not until I had kids that I realized, Jason, that I could love something as much as one of my babies. But I would never give one of them for somebody else's life. Ever. So I can't even wrap my head around the kind of love that God the Father had for us. Now I'm going to read John 3:16. Some of you have never heard it. Most of you probably have it memorized. But it says, "For God so loved the world that He" what? "He gave." That's generosity. Love prompts us to give. Love prompts generosity. He gave His one and only Son. His one and only Son. God gave His first and God gave His best. "That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to" what? "Condemn the world." Isn't that interesting? Why do so many churches preach a message of condemnation? The gospel is the gospel of salvation. Most people know they're wrong. They need somebody to help them figure out how to get right. Okay? "For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." I mean, that's just amazing to me that God thought enough of me that He would exchange the life of His Son, that Jesus went through what He went through at Calvary for us. If God could have sent an angel, I'm sure He would have, but He couldn't. It required the price of His very one and only Son. And generosity is all about giving our very best. And that's what God shows us. He shows us that when we live a generous life, He wants us to give our best. And so that challenges all of us. Am I giving my best every day? Am I giving my best to my employer? You say, "Well, Josh, I give 100% every week. I give 15% on Monday. I give 35% on Tuesday. I give another 18% on Wednesday. By the time I get to Friday, I've given them 100%. No. Am I giving my best to my spouse? Am I giving my best to my kids? Am I giving my best to the kingdom of God? Am I giving my best as an American? You hear me? God's challenging us to give nothing less than our best because that's what He gave to us. And when we do that, it opens the doors to show other people through the way we're generous with our lifestyle how He gave His Son. I love Romans 8:32, one of my favorite scriptures. It says, "He who did not spare His own Son," He didn't hold Jesus back. He gave Him to us, "but delivered Him up for us all." For how many people in this room? All of us. For how many people in the world? All of them. "How shall He not with Him also," how's He going to give? "Freely give us" how many things? All things. In other words, Jesus, Brother Joe, is the ultimate gift. And if He gave us the best gift, and if He gave us the most valuable gift, how much more is everything else you might need on the table? And God says yes to you, and it is available to you. And it's very simply there for the asking. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open to you. And so if He met the greatest need of my life, how much more is he going to meet every other need? The greatest debt I ever had was the debt of my sin. It was a debt I could never repay, yet he paid it for me and he canceled that debt. Well, if he paid that debt, how much more will he help you get out of any other debt in your life? Because the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. I'm here to tell you that we can go so far into debt that it will ruin our marriage, ruin our life, ruin our peace. People commit suicide over it because we buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. You know what I'm saying? And debt is a way of life for most of us. I don't believe some debt's wrong. But I believe you got to be careful with it, or it will become a noose around your neck very, very quickly. And so we've got to be cautious of that. And I believe that God will give you wisdom and show you, Miss Becky, ways that you can get out of debt through the wisdom of God. Show you ways to do things debt-free. Show you ways to crawl out of that hole. Show you ways that you can take what you've got and make it do more. We're one piece of information away from something greater. And God is able to give that to us as long as we seek him. God's generosity changed the entire world. When he gave us his son, it changed the world forever. More importantly, it changed my world. Yeah, Jesus is a gift to the whole world, but Jesus was a gift that changed my world, Bonnie. I mean, it radically changed our life. And when you know that, when you've received that gift, then you're able to go live that in a completely different way. When you know how generous God was with you, then you can go be generous with other people and break that bondage in our life where it's so easy to fall back into that can all you get and get all you can. Is that true? Where we live this very narrow-minded, it's all about me. So I want to show you tonight how we can break free from that fear of lack, self-centered life, and become a blessing to others. And here's what blows my mind. It's so unique to God's generosity. God's generosity is directed at his enemies. We were enemies of the cross. We are enemies of God when we were sinners. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. God's generosity is directed at his enemies. It's what makes God's love and his generosity so unique. Mankind was in direct rebellion to God. Every one of us. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Is that true? How many of you sinned? Okay, how many of you needed a savior? Every person in this room, all sin is rebellion against God. Everything we are and everything we did as a sinner was in direct violation and contradiction to God's nature. Yet God's response was not to destroy us and condemn us. His response was to rescue us, to give us his best, to save us by his grace, not because of what we've done, but to save us in spite of what we've done, and to save us because of what Jesus did for us. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. When we deserve nothing, he gave us everything. When we were the ones who were cursed, he took our curse at the cross so that we could receive his blessing. He redeemed us from the curse, having become a curse for us. If you are born again tonight, you cannot be cursed. Period. The end. Jesus was cursed, so you don't have to be. You are blessed. That's all there is to it. And the Bible says, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Therefore, choose the blessing. Start living in it by acknowledging every day. I'm not cursed. I am blessed. I'm a child of God. I'm not an outsider. I'm an insider. I'm not looking in. I'm a child of God, and I'm able to show others what God has done, not only in me, but he'll do for them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Again, we're talking about how God's love comes to us in spite of who we were and what we did wrong. We didn't deserve it. It says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, we don't like this scripture at all, do we? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. Did you get that? He sends rain on the just and the unjust. The Bible says in Romans, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, I want to be like Daddy. Daddy says, do it like me. When people do us wrong, love them anyway. When people do us wrong, forgive them anyway. When people do you wrong, they probably ought to be the number one on the list of people you're going to bless. They probably ought to be on the top of the list of Christmas gifts. Amen? So number one, we see God's creation, that he's a giver. Number two, we see his son. Number three, I want you to think about Jesus himself, how he willingly laid down his life for you and me. Think about this tonight. Scott, Jesus was not killed by man. Did you know that? Jesus was not killed by Pilate. Jesus was not killed by the Romans. Jesus was not killed by the Jews, and they've got a bad rap for too long. Jesus was killed by the will of the Father. He submitted in obedience, and his suffering was a sacrifice because it was the only way to take us from where we were in sin and bring us back into right relationship with a holy God. Jesus willingly and willfully and happily, because the Bible says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. He hated the cross, but he loved what was on the other side. And that was you, redeemed and born again and set free and back in the family of God and back having a relationship with the Father and living a life of purpose filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and joy and peace and everything God intended for Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden before they committed high treason and sold out to Satan. You hear what I'm telling you? Jesus gave you his life. That's generosity at its finest. He actually said in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life. He laid down his own life for us. And I take it again. No one takes it from me. Now, I'm not reading a trick Bible. You see that? It's in yours. I want to encourage you to look it up for yourself. He said, no one takes it from me. He willingly, Jason, gave it. There's a difference between being killed and being murdered and saying, I'm jumping on the grenade for you because I want to. What a gift. But I lay down my life of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Somebody say, Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this flesh suit, in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for who? Somebody say, he gave himself for me. Think about that. Y'all ready to leave here tonight and go die for somebody? I'm not. I want to go home and sit on the couch and eat Cheetos. Watch TV. Jesus gave his life for me. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 12. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Jesus willingly participated in that sacrifice and offered his own life because he loved us, and he generously died so that we could live. So we see the generosity of God when you look at creation. We see the generosity of God when God the Father sent his son Jesus Christ. And we see the generosity of God when Jesus willingly and willfully and happily went to the cross for us. And the fourth way we see the generosity of God is what he gave us in exchange for us coming to the cross and laying down our life and surrendering our heart. And that is eternal life. And I want you to think about this. He gives us, and we don't think about this a lot because we're alive right now, but at the end of the day, whether you live 24 years or 94 years, it's a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. You will spend eternity somewhere. And this is the only life in which you can choose. The Bible says it's appointed for a man to die once, but after this, the judgment. Jesus promises us eternal life. For God so loved the world, Tina, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. Somebody say, I have eternal life. And this life is in his son. Where do I find that life? That's why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one and only way to the Father. I'm sorry if that offends you, but it is the truth, and the truth will set you free. Verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That separates us into two separate categories, saved and unsaved. lost and found, light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness. So that's the ultimate gift. God gives us eternal life. And here's what I love about it. Like Christmas vacation, like the jelly of the month club, Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Eternal life. It never ends. Is the gift that literally keeps on giving. And here's what you got to know. Eternal life doesn't start the day you stop breathing. It started the day you called on the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's why we say at Victory Church, living for Christ is about more than getting ready to die. It's about making the most of every single day of your life. Because when you got born again, eternal life started and abundant life began. And that's when the clock starts ticking for us. Amen? Thank God that I have that right now. So God says, my generosity has no ending. Okay, so let's go over some very simple truths about generosity. Generosity 101, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19 says, teach those who are rich in this world. Well, let's stop right there. How many of you think you're rich? Praise God. Enough of you. That's pretty awesome. But let me give you the rest of you an education. How many of you have food in your refrigerator? How many of you are wearing clothes tonight? Where's the naked one? You've all got clothes on, right? How many of you have a roof over your head tonight? How many of you have a place to sleep tonight? You are richer than 75% of the entire world, 7 billion people. How many of you have at least $1 in the bank? Okay, probably every person in this room. How many of you have some amount of money in your wallet? Okay. How many of you have spare change in a dish or under a cushion in your couch at home? You're in the world's top 8% of wealthy people. Do you understand that? 8%. Somebody say, I am rich. So the Bible says, teach those who are rich in this world. Well, that's us. Not to be proud and not to trust in their money, because that's what happens, which is so unreliable. Money is funny, ain't it? Y'all got funny money? You think you're doing good and bam, something happens. You're not doing so good. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us. How does he give us? Richly, not poorly. He said richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Why does God give you everything you need? God wants you to enjoy stuff. I know some people don't like to hear that, but that's what your Bible said. Why do you think he created the world for us? That's the whole point of me showing you the world around us. He wants you to enjoy what he's given you. The Bible says he's given it to us for our enjoyment. But here's what he goes on and says. He says, don't stop there. That's short-sighted and it's selfish because it only thinks of you. He said, tell them to use their money to do good. Use your money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Always being ready to share. How many of you are always ready to share? With others. Verse 19, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future. That means that everything I sow. Now, he's talking here specifically about money in this situation. Everything I sow into somebody else, I'm not actually giving away. It's not leaving my life. It's not going away from me. It might leave your hand, but it never leaves your life. It's actually being transferred to your heavenly account. So you're not losing anything. Just like when you transfer money from one account to another in the bank. But this is what I want you to see. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future. In other words, you're sowing seed for the future. I'm building a foundation for something greater in the future. How many of you know you don't stop with a foundation? You build on top of the foundation. Typically, Miss Christie, the foundation you almost can't even see. It's everything above that you can see. I'm laying a foundation for what God's about to do in my life at a future date, the greater things he desires for me. Why do some people not experience a greater life? It's because they don't understand the principles of generosity. And as long as you're clinging to everything you've got and you're a magnet trying to pull it in, then you're not going to experience enlargement. You're not laying a foundation. The foundation hasn't been laid, so there's nothing there to build on. I don't build until there's a foundation. But it's the next thing he says that blows my mind. He says, so that they may experience true life. That means the only way for me to experience life the way God really intended for me to is through generosity. Is this a light bulb moment for somebody, I hope, tonight? where we're seeing this is about more than money. This is about me walking as the person God created me to be that is a reflection of my Father in heaven, because money lies to us. Money and the spirit of mammon promises us things that only God can ever provide for you. It promises security. It promises significance. It promises identity. It promises independence. It promises freedom. It promises power. But all those things can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find them momentarily in money, but there are plenty of wealthy people, multimillionaires, who commit suicide because they're lonely and they're empty and they're broken. Money is not the answer. And so as a child of God, are there any children of God here tonight? As a child of God, generosity is a part of your God-given nature. How many of you know tonight, when you were born again, you got a new nature? Old things passed away, all things became new. I became a new person in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible tells us that. Everything in the past is gone. He's made me a brand new person. I got the nature of my Father. Just like I look like Carl Payne, and I have his height, and I have his blue eyes, and I'm somewhat built like him, and I have his hair color, and I'm starting to bald like him. When you are born again, you got the nature of your Father in heaven. And we just spent all of our time proving that we have a generous Father. And that means that spirit of generosity moves on the inside of us. We've been born in the Spirit. We have His attributes in our life. We were born out of generosity because we were born for generosity. You were born again to be generous. Freely you have received, now freely go and give. That's why you've been born again. But what we do is we wrestle with generosity because it's in direct conflict with our old carnal sinful nature. Isn't that true? You know what I'm talking about, Chris? The old man was selfish. The old man was all about me. The old man didn't care a whole lot about everybody else. And so that's why it's so hard for us sometimes when God says, I want you to go bless that person. We need three angelic visitations, a divine dream, and a word of prophecy before we'll get up out of our seat and go do something. Or tip the waitress 22% at a restaurant. And I've made up my mind. My attitude is not, God, if you make me, I'm going to bless them. My attitude is, God, I'm going to bless them unless you stop me. If I have that unction at all, I'm giving it to them. And sometimes we discount it. We're like, oh, that's just me. That's the devil. Devil, I rebuke you. That's God. The devil's not going to tell you to give something away. He's a thief. Thieves keep everything they got and they take yours too. We limit the generosity of God when we equate it to just money. And people think, well, I can't be generous because I don't have any extra money. Well, first of all, here's what I've learned. That people who aren't generous with what they have won't be later on. That's why people who say, well, when I retire, then I'm going to be. No, you're not. You're going to be the exact same person you are now. I'm going to live while I can. I'm going to live while I'm young. I'm going to be young while I'm young. I'm going to be young when I'm old. Because I've watched people who die. They die before they're dead. And I'm not going to be one of them. I'm not waiting until later. I'm not going to have, you know, horizon disease, destination disease when I get here, when I get here, when I get here, when the kids graduate, when I hit this milestone. No, today is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will fill in the blank, and we're going to be glad about it. Can you give Him praise? So think about this. Generosity is a matter of what's in my heart, not in not what's in my bank account. Generosity is a matter of what's in my heart, not what's in my bank account. Everybody can do something for somebody. And again, get off the money kick. Let me give you a small example of something little you can start with. Me and Marcia went to Chili's. We were out last Friday night alone without the kids. We were both full from lunch, didn't need to go eat, but because we were alone, we just wanted to go to a restaurant and be together. And so we went to Chili's. Supper time, another couple gets out of the car, and we're all four walking in at the same time. Well, you know what that turns into. It's like chariots of fire. Right? I mean, you're like, who's going to get there first? I'm going to get to the hostess before you. I will knock you down and knock you out to get to her. But instead, I walk up to the door, I open the door, I let them go in front of us. Okay, I'm talking about little things. How about inviting a friend you know or a mom you know who's struggling to bring her kids over and drop them off for 2 or 3 hours so that she can go run errands? How about mowing beyond your property line? Amen. How about weed eating beyond your property line? Something little. I'm talking about little things. I'm talking about little acts that make a big difference. I'm blown away by the volunteers. There's a ton of them tonight working, and every single Sunday it takes a ton of people to make ministry possible here. Nothing just happens. Everything happens because somebody makes it happen. I thank God for their generosity and their commitment to the vision of Victory Church, and they are the reason why we get to sit in here tonight and do what we do. Can you give God praise for Team Victory? And let me just give a shameless plug for the greeters in Woody's ministry. We could use another 5 greeters, first service and second service. So if you're interested, pop by the info desk and grab a volunteer application. But we empower generosity by exchanging the attitude of ownership for the attitude of stewardship. We've got to get rid of ownership and embrace stewardship, okay? And understand that everything I have is from God. Somebody says, no, it's not. God didn't go to college. I earned it. God didn't. Who do you think gave you the abilities you have? Who do you think gave you the breath in your lungs this morning? Who do you think told your neurons to communicate with each other so that you could have the capacity to even function at the level you do? Who do you think told your eyes to see and your ears to hear and your feet to move? Who do you think told your heart to beat? Who do you think told your lungs to receive oxygen? Who do you think assigned your IQ to you? Who do you think gave you the ability to do what you did? Who do you think opened the door for you to get that job that you have, even if it's the one you hate? I've learned you got to love the one you got so that you can get to the one you love. It was him. See, Deuteronomy said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have is his. My trucks are his. My animals are his. My pants are his. My boots are his. The breath in my lungs is his. So that completely changes our mindset from ownership to stewardship, which means I'm just a manager. So if I got money problems, I say, Jesus, you got bills to pay. And you think I'm kidding. I was a 20-some-year-old kid when we signed a loan for $1.15 million on this place. And Woody will tell you, we were $200,000 short. And he come to me and he said, well, how are we going to do it? I said, the same way we did everything else. We'll just ask God for it. And here we are today. Well, I mean, because here's the reality. Whether it's 200-some-thousand you don't have or whether it's $2 you don't have, it doesn't matter. You don't have it. So I can ask for $2 or I can ask for a couple million. It doesn't matter. God will provide, because when it's his will, it's his bill. Amen? So stewardship is careful and responsible management of resources. It's to be faithful with what God has entrusted to you. And so it's important for us to grasp that, so that when God tells me to give something away and bless somebody else, or to bless his church, or to be the tither, don't you think God's big enough to bless you and make up for what he asks you to give? Because the Bible says, give and it shall be given back to you. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. We could say we're generous because he was first generous to us. The biggest lie that stops generosity is, what if I don't have enough for me? But that's a lie from the enemy, because when you renew your mind on the word of God, you understand Proverbs 11:24-5 that says the world of the generous gets larger and larger and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. I can literally sow my way out of debt. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. Changed lives change lives. It's that simple. That's what your Bible says. And so here, I've got a challenge for you tonight. An experiment, if you will. And I need somebody to come help me. Let's see. Who do I want to pick on? Mr. Boggs, come here. Would y'all give Chris a big hand? I've got a stack of 20s in my hand. Hold out yours. This is not my money. This is kingdom money. This is victory money. Okay? And I'm going to count it out. 20, 40, 60, 80, 1. 20, 40, 60, 80. $200. How's that feel? You like to have $200? There you go. I want you to go find somebody else. How about Mike Steele? Go put it in his hand. Okay, Mike, come here. Chris, how'd it feel giving him that money? Better than getting it. All right, so let me ask you a question. Was it hard to give him that money? Why is that? That's right. It wasn't yours. That's stewardship, not ownership. Now, Mike, I need you to do me a favor. And before you do, we're going to pray. I need you to go find 10 people in the congregation to give a $20 bill to. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, you know who you've picked and ordained to have this money. And so I ask that you lead Mike as he goes out right now and passes out this money. Mike, you got 30 seconds. Go find them. You got 10 $20 bills. You're going to need more than 30 seconds. Make it rain, bro. You're doing good, man. I'm messing with you. How many you got left? Awesome. If you got a $20 bill in your hand, I want you to stand up. Here's what I want you to do. You got 7 days to ask the Lord who to give it to and how to use it. Here's the only rule. You can't give it back to the church. You can give it all one person. You can give 20 people $1. You can buy donuts for your office. You can stand in line at the gas station and put $20 of gas in somebody else's car. Get creative, though. All right? And then we want to hear from you, and we want to hear how you used it and impacted somebody's life. 7 days. By next Wednesday night, we want to hear how you used it. Can y'all do that? I want everybody to stand up with them. Okay, because y'all think it was just about those 10 people. Because it's not. It's about every one of you. They got the $20 bills. I want every person in this room to think of something you can do for somebody else in the next 7 days. When we come back together next Wednesday night, we're going to talk about it. And I want to hear how somebody else's life was blessed, how they responded, and how they were impacted by something you did for them. It does not have to be money. Money just opens doors and helps us sometimes. You can use money. You don't have to use money. You can do something else for them, but do something tangibly to show them the love of God. There's Love Struck cards out there in the lobby. I encourage you, you don't have to, but I encourage you to take one and use it, because then it's very intentional and it assigns your act of kindness to Jesus. Make sense? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for what you're about to do. Lord, you changed the world with 120 people, and I know there's more than that here tonight. And Father, as we go through the next 7 days, show us who and show us how. Because there are people you're going to send in our path that need an encouragement. Even though we think $20 isn't much, God, you took 5 loaves and 2 fish and you blew 5,000 people's minds. So God, take what we have and blow somebody's mind with it. And most of all, let them know that you love them. And Lord, I pray that they'd come into greater relationship with you. You know exactly where they are. You know the cry of their heart. You know they're asking, God, are you real? So God, use us to reveal yourself to them. We thank you for your generosity. And Father, we thank you that you are big. So be big in us because you're big. We apply the blood of Jesus over every heart and every home. Father, bless every marriage in this room, every child represented by families in this place tonight. We declare no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, we thank you for victory in Jesus, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, can we give him the ovation of the night before we leave? Amen. I love you. God bless you. Let's go change somebody's life in the next 7 days.